Everybody, welcome to Matt Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Andrew Zarin, and I'm joined by the quintessential stud muffin.
Oh, boy.
Rich, the hammer hand Stamboli.
Just smashing, baby.
how was your week? I know you were away.
I was in Phoenicia. In the Catskills all week. It was nice.
Did you see a comedy show?
I did not.
Did you try the veal?
I did try the veal. It was nice. It was a good little trip. We definitely needed it. My wife, congratulations, she passed the board.
Yeah.
We found out on vacation. So I was like, oh.
The boards.
Molto bella.
Meaning the Wrestling Observer message boards.
She passed all the boards.
She got in there. She got in all the forums.
Yeah.
Congratulations to her.
There you go.
Awesome.
I'll pass that along.
I have my entire family here as we speak.
I know. You're freaking out.
I'm freaking out. I think Deacon is terrified of my mother for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And he, every time he meets her, it's like for the first time. And she harasses him about everything. And she was asking about his ailments, and Deacon loves to complain. So this went on for like 45 minutes and my mother actually called the doctor and made him an appointment.
Shut up.
I swear to God.
Shut up.
Swear to God.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So this is what I'm living with right now.
You're not a fan.
I'm not a fan of any of this, but I am a fan of talking professional wrestling. And this week, I don't know, you know, for every step forward, I sometimes feel we take like 800 steps back.
You mean like WWE?
WWE.
Okay.
So
not us.
That Raw reunion
uh-huh.
from 2 weeks ago, I guess. That
so stupid.
I mean, that was a one-off show, obviously.
Yeah,
and then we
go
into last week, and last week was a very strange Raw.
Yeah.
What did you think of it?
It was all right. It, you know, like honestly, like the only thing that this is gonna be a two-part answer. I just want to see Samoa Joe and Roman Reigns really go at it forever. The Rey Mysterio stuff was cool.
Okay, yeah.
And also, like, they definitely had something on their hands with that 24/7 title, right?
There's something, yeah. I mean, Maria pretty much emasculating everybody.
Right. So that's kind of interesting. Now, before all this happened, everybody was groaning about the 24/7 title, right? Apparently, it's the hottest thing on WWE YouTube.
Yeah, which right? that was kind of the point for them. I know USA thought it would be like, I have a hard time with what they're doing because they are not able to articulate their concepts on TV
right.
and commit to it. It was supposed to be like a hardcore division, and now it's like become like a gag reel, which is fine.
R-Truth, man.
Yeah, he's great. I thought that was interesting. You know, there was a lot of Paul Heyman's hands were all over this show, top to bottom.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
For good and bad last week. SmackDown, on the other mm-hmm. hand, was a very bizarre show. Roman Reigns being murdered by a forklift operator.
Oh what? What's that?
So essentially, if you did not see it, I advise you to go look. But a forklift came and dropped all its supplies on Roman Reigns and crushed him.
So weird. And he's okay.
And he's okay in a backstage segment. So who is the forklift driver, you say?
Spoiler alert,
Daniel Bryan.
So weird.
Because it goes back to his feud with Kane.
Mm-hmm.
He knows how to ride a forklift.
Right. He's an expert forklift driver.
And
plus they keep teasing that Daniel Bryan announcement.
Did they tease it again? Because
yeah.
I have not heard it.
I think he walked out and walked back
in. I have not heard it toast. Teasing?
What's that?
My hair loss award.
Oh, very nice.
From the Follicular Unit Extraction of Europe Conference. My award in appreciation and recognition as faculty.
That is real.
Yes,
guys, by the way.
Real.
This is a real thing. And it's going to be really broken.
It's going to be really broken in a minute.
The other all right. So the gauntlet match on Raw was great, right? It shined everybody. Ricochet won. Ricochet's taking on AJ Styles at SummerSlam, right? Also, which I thought was very
great, by the way. That's a phenomenal match to have.
Absolutely. Pun intended. And the club beating Revival for the tag belts.
But now they're the tag. So all three of them have the tag titles.
So it's kind of neat in that, like, we're finally getting the Bullet Club.
We're getting what we had wanted 3 years ago.
Right.
Right? 2.5 years ago. We're essentially getting the club coming into WWE being really dominant.
Right.
You know, taking the titles. AJ is great as a heel.
Absolutely.
My God, he's so good as a heel. The club seems, you know, Gallows and Anderson have a new lease on life with their careers now that they committed 5 years. I think, you know, this is obviously a reward for all three of those guys.
I think so.
Because if there was ever an opportunity to leave, this was it, and they chose not to leave. I think it was a lot of people were anticipating that they were going to leave because those are their boys over there. It's their company. Think of the push they could get. Think of what they could do in the tag division in AEW.
Right.
And these guys said, you know what? This WWE thing is not that bad.
Right. Making money.
I'm making some money. I get to see my family. Yeah, I'm work, but their schedule's not as heavy as people imagined in WWE. They're getting some, and their money is
good money.
They just secured their retirement essentially with this contract.
Carl Anderson has four kids.
Carl Anderson is going to be 45 years old by the end of this deal.
Yeah.
Gallows is going to be 40.
He's going to be 26.
Actually, he may be 39 at the like. He's very young. He's very young.
He's super. He's like 34.
And AJ, AJ's at the end of his career. You know how many more years? He's 42 years old. He's the age of Hogan in WCW.
I think AJ wrapping up his career in WWE is the way to go. Because he doesn't have to prove himself.
You know what's fascinating here? When we look back, right? When we look back in history, WCW was known as the place for all the old guys.
The big
boys. You had Hogan winning, you know, Hogan and Flair, and all these old guys were there.
The big boys, you mean?
The big boys, yes, the big boys. Big on age. Hogan, nobody's saying that about AJ Styles and Samoa Joe and Shinsuke Nakamura. You're not really hearing that, which I find it so interesting because it's not an age thing. But when it comes to Bill Goldberg,
when
it comes to The Undertaker or Triple H, people are like, oh, these old guys are ruining wrestling. But the 42-year-old is not ruining wrestling, but the 46-year-old is. You know
it's
what
weird,
I mean?
Isn't it?
It's a weird way of looking at it. A lot of this is attributed to AJ still looks very youthful.
Oh, yeah.
And he's performing at a top level.
Yeah.
It's perception is everything. By the way, I'm not against the old guys.
Yeah.
If the old guys are doing something to elevate a younger guy or they're doing something that's their own thing, I think that's a positive if it's going to work for you.
But also, like, nobody's calling Samoa Joe an old guy.
And he's like 40. He's 40 years old. 40. Also.
Finn is 38.
Daniel Bryan is 38, 37. Shinsuke Nakamura, 38, 37, 39.
I think he's 40.
Shinsuke's under 40. He's not 40 yet. Yeah.
I think that's completely fascinating, where it's like the weird stigma that goes with it. And these dudes can move, and nobody's doing like an ageist thing. I think with Bill Goldberg.
Oh, which we'll talk about.
Yeah, I think with Bill Goldberg, there is that odd right to complain, especially after that Saudi match.
So I got a lot of emails over last week, our conversation about Bill Goldberg coming back. Okay? So on Thursday, I got bombarded with, holy crap, did you guys know? Because we literally did a fan. We spoke about Bill Goldberg. We said he'll probably have another match. We did fan fiction of Bill Goldberg and Steve Austin facing off each other in a tag match to protect everybody. So I got a lot of comments about this. So I'm going to say I had no idea Bill Goldberg was returning for a match with Dolph Ziggler.
I did.
You knew this.
One of my sources
told me. All your sources told you. I had no idea about this. I did, however. You guys are going to hate me. Hang on.
Oh, my God. What happened?
I need a new cable. It's really bad here. Things are brutal. Brutal Bob bought me that.
Nice.
Yeah. So I did, however, know he wanted to erase that terrible match. So I guess they were talking. I did not anticipate SummerSlam to be the place.
Do you think he wanted to erase the terrible match? Or they were like, you need to erase that.
I think both. I think both, but the whole concept that like they're so mad at Goldberg, a lot of those rumors are not true at all.
Yeah.
The guy got concussed. You know, it was what it was. Undertaker came back. He had a great match.
Yeah,
he looked phenomenal in that match. I could take that Undertaker all day
with
Roman.
Absolutely.
I was very impressed by how well he was moving. And you know what? It says a lot. You know that the guy has the drive and he could do this.
Yeah.
It takes two to tango, and obviously Bill Goldberg and The Undertaker were not a great couple to dance.
Yeah.
So now Goldberg is coming in with Dolph Ziggler. This was not the original plan, by the way.
Yeah.
The original plan was Undertaker and Drew.
Yeah.
When Undertaker pulled out for whatever reason, or they decided not to go in that direction.
Right.
Maybe to hold off for SummerSlam, Survivor Series or something else. They decided that maybe Goldberg would be a good shift. That's why Dolph has been mentioning Bill Goldberg for weeks.
Right.
Along with Shawn Michaels. I guess that was to kind of entice Shawn to come back. Didn't really work.
Do you want to see Shawn Michaels versus Goldberg?
I want to see Shawn Michaels versus Goldberg because I don't know what that match would look like.
This is so weird. I feel like if this is real, this is so oddball. And also, like, it's going to be a squash match, right? If this is true and it's Ziggler, Goldberg just spears him and wins, right?
By the way, we have seen Shawn Michaels versus Goldberg in 2003.
Okay.
It was that weird year. And, like, 2002 to 2003, we had all these fantasy matches finally happen.
Mm-hmm.
NWO showed up. Hogan was there. Mr. Ooh. Perfect. Flair. We saw a Ric Flair and Stone Cold Steve Austin match.
Yes.
We saw Hogan and Flair on Raw in the main event in 2002. Yeah. I'm watching, by the way. I'm watching Bill Goldberg and Shawn Michaels. This match was about 8 minutes.
Yeah.
It was an 8 minute match.
It's so weird. I mean,
6 minutes. Sorry. 6 minutes. Less than that. Sorry. Five and a half minutes.
it's one of those things where, like you were saying before, one step forward, two steps back.
Yeah.
Right. Where now, like, you look at Monday's show. Monday's show is good, right? You had the showcase of the gauntlet match, which was awesome. You had the club winning the titles, which was awesome. They're trying to find a new opponent for Becky in Natalia, which is great. You know,
in Canada, though.
Right.
So how's that playing out? You know?
And then you had Brock Lesnar returning and destroying Seth Rollins.
And Seth was dribbling food coloring.
And he was EMT'd out, right?
Yeah.
Do you think it was Goldberg that tried to dump the stuff on not Goldberg?
Oh my God!
Brock trying to dump the stuff on Roman.
On Roman, that would have
like
been great.
I want to see Brock Lesnar in a forklift.
I want to see him driving a forklift,
smart car,
anything bizarre for him,
like the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile.
Yeah, like a Mini Cooper. I want him getting out of a Mini Cooper. Listen, they're putting it together. SummerSlam is going to be like 38 matches.
Four hours long.
It's going to be very long. It's in a couple of weeks. So we're going to... August is going to be nuts for wrestling, obviously.
Yeah,
we have a lot of stuff going on in August.
So far, you're also getting like... You already have 9 matches on the SummerSlam card.
Yeah.
So far.
Yeah.
So far.
I think it's going to be like 14, 15 matches.
Seth and Brock, Becky and Natalia, Bayley versus Ember Moon.
You know what? I'm excited for that match.
It should be good, yeah.
Did you see Bayley attack Ember Moon? Like in the worst heel move ever?
I'm really enjoying this Bayley, this version of Bayley.
She's like, eh, whatever.
Yeah.
Bad girl Bayley, it's happening. How many years ago did we discuss bad girl Bayley?
Can't wait.
I'm telling you, she's the worst heel in the best way. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, she's like, Bayley, go to bed. No, mom. That's bad girl Bayley.
I'm a bad girl.
I'm a bad girl. I'm going to stay up and play Nintendo.
Kofi versus Randy.
Okay.
I'm like okay with.
Kofi. I mean, obviously Kofi's dropping this.
You think so?
Yeah. This
you
is
think
it.
Kofi's dropping a Randy at SummerSlam?
Yeah, well.
That's dumb.
That's what I was told like a year ago. That he's like the guy going into Fox.
Kevin Owens versus Shane. If Owens loses.
I hate this.
He'll quit.
I hate this.
WWE.
I'm over this.
Because they're trying to do like Summer of Punk.
It's not the same. Kevin Owens is great. I think you need to. He's better as a heel.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing the Stone Cold Kevin Steen thing. His fired up. I don't give a crap. Promos are wearing on me.
Really, I like him.
But I mean, listen. Let's see where it goes.
It's an interesting. Like I also love how his promos have. I can't talk. His promos. I like how his promos also address how nobody wants to see Shane on TV, and this also may steal the show.
It may, yeah. Well, I kind of I like the Shane character. I just don't want to see him and Kevin. Can we talk about Trish Stratus and how her accent has shifted?
Yeah,
it is now become. Excuse me.
Bless you.
It has become the most deep Canadian accent I've ever heard.
Hey.
He's actually turned into the mom from Bobby's World. It's become like this. It's like a Minnesota thing. I couldn't believe the transformation in her accent. And she brought this up last time. And she said that she's not traveling anymore. And she's like only in Canada.
Yes. She doesn't need to like try.
She doesn't need to try to kind of, you know, we all try to cover it up. Like I try to cover up the New York thing a little bit. If Rich and I get drunk, we're just talking like two stereotypes from Brooklyn. That's what happens.
Hey, what do you mean? Where's the gabagool?
We just talk about gabagool constantly.
Hey, Shirley, I'm going to take that belt from you.
I'm going to take that belt. That's what it was. Right? Yeah, that's good.
I'm a legend.
It got really heavy. I don't know what. Are you into it with the Charlotte match?
I'm okay with it. Like, that's honestly, like, I feel like there's really nothing jumping out at me.
About SummerSlam in general?
There's, like, out of the nine matches, so we have, like, Finn and Bray. I'm looking forward to that. I think that's going to be fun.
Finn and Bray, yeah. Right. So, where do they go with that?
I don't know. Finn's taking time off after SummerSlam, so yeah. Bray's going to dominate a little bit. Apparently, Finn got married also.
Finn got married to the sports announcer, Spanish girl?
Yes.
I didn't know that. That's nice. Good for them.
AJ versus Ricochet is going to be awesome. The Miz versus Dolph, maybe Goldberg, right? And then Trish Stratus versus Charlotte. I think that's going to be a fun match.
Did you see the video of a drunk Finn Balor at a soccer game?
No.
That was the best. Yeah. And his girlfriend was doing the commentary.
That's his
like the interviewing, and he shows up and he's belligerent. He's like really, he's hammered. He's really hammered.
Good for him. That guy probably gets drunk like once a year.
He has to. I mean, you can't get drunk regularly like us and have that body.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. We'll see what's happening, man. I was kind of poo-poo on all this week.
What jumps out at you? Like
I'm actually, Daniel Bryan, Roman Reigns is a very... There are a lot of good matches on this card. Between between Roman, which they're going to announce, and Daniel Bryan.
Mm-hmm.
AJ and Finn. I'm sorry, AJ and Ricochet.
Yeah.
Finn and Bray, I'm interested in the match.
Mm-hmm.
What else do we have here?
Do you care about Brock versus Seth?
I don't, but I get it. I get, like, I'm okay mm-hmm. with that also. There's not a lot of, like... nonsense matches.
Does Seth take it?
I don't know. I everything shifted with this Universal title thing,
mm-hmm.
and now they're kind of realizing, like, oh, we took the title off of Seth, and the ratings have gone up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things are okay.
Do you think...
I feel his run was lackluster, to be honest. I think Seth's Universal title reign got really muddied with mm-hmm. the Becky Lynch stuff.
Okay.
And neither one of them, and we spoke about this when it originally happened, neither one of them want this to happen.
Right.
They don't, they like the little, like, you know, huh, okay, they're dating, little once in a while things, but they turn them into a couple to kind of fill in pay-per-views, and in my opinion, it hurts Seth tremendously.
Okay.
Because he was doing that, like, I'm a loose cannon type gimmick.
Yeah.
Where he was, like, beating people with chairs. And with Becky, you kind of humanized her.
Uh-huh.
Where she's like, you know, she's... I feel like it weakened both of them. It took the edge off of both.
I agree with that 100%.
I also think it's really bad for fanship, for fandom.
Okay.
When you have two top stars like that, and it's fandom, and you put it on TV that they're a couple,
uh-huh.
it hurts it tremendously.
Yeah, I think it's just... I agree with you. I agree with you pretty much 100% on that. Like, I love Seth Rollins.
I love
Becky Lynch.
I do too. I love that they're together. I just don't like them together on TV.
Yeah.
Like that. And like in the way that they were presented.
I do think, I really do feel like that match between them should be a triple threat.
With who?
With somebody else, like, taking the title. You know?
You haven't put anybody else in that position.
I think they need to. That's the big thing with that Universal belt, where it's like, it's almost like the pedigree makes it like the ultimate championship, right?
Yeah, but they also have only like a handful of people that are ever in that title. Like in the last, since the conception.
Finn,
but he doesn't count because he never got his comeuppance, never really feuded for it. So Finn got off.
Kevin Owens,
but that didn't count really because it was only to drop it to Goldberg, right?
Yeah.
For Lesnar to get.
Right, Goldberg.
So it was, okay, so let's say Brock Lesnar.
Right.
Right?
Roman.
Okay, Roman.
Do you count Goldberg?
I count Goldberg, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I'm not counting Goldberg because remember, transition.
Okay.
It was Brock.
Roman. Brock.
And Seth, that's it.
Yeah.
It's three people in the picture, and the people that they're defending it to are the same three people.
Yeah, it's very strange, isn't it? I do think they, like, you're right in the respect that they need to build somebody up to that main event again, you know?
They have to.
And they've done the monster stuff with Brock, like, because he held on to that title for so long.
Same thing with the WWE title.
You got that awesome Daniel Bryan match. You got that awesome AJ Styles match. You got that awesome Finn match.
I got a question about that Daniel Bryan match, too.
Yeah.
That Daniel Bryan match, done 2 weeks prior,
mm-hmm.
would have been a blockbuster.
You think so?
Would have been bigger than ever.
Okay.
Because they muddied it with his heel turn to win that title.
Okay.
When he turned heel to win that WWE title,
yeah,
I get what they did. It was just it didn't align.
Yeah.
It didn't align, and it hurt. That would have been, that match should have been saved as a, oh my God, can Daniel Bryan do this? It's finally the story that we've been talking about, and it was muddied with a heel turn, but he did wrestle a great heel match.
He did, but also, the thing with Brock is, like, he also has somewhat of a say in who he's wrestling.
Of course, yeah.
Right? And I think for the fans, man, if he was like, you know what? I want to have a match at Ricochet.
Can you imagine?
Or, like, I want to have a match with Andrade. Or I want to have a match with, I don't know, Cedric Alexander.
In the psychology of things, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I've asked about this. I said, why doesn't Brock have different opponents? And they said, in the psychology of Brock, he's indestructible. So when you do beat him, it has to be your guy. And that logic goes even down to basic selling.
Right.
Brock Lesnar selling for Ricochet does not do anything for either one.
Right.
Because Ricochet's not at that elevated level where you're saying, oh my God, this guy's going to beat him.
But
selling for Daniel Bryan because he's established.
Finn, AJ.
These are guys
Joe.
Yeah, like, okay, they have prestige. They have titles.
Mm-hmm.
They're beyond just being an attraction or a spot match.
Mm-hmm.
They're, oh my God, they could beat him.
I would like to say a Brock versus Nakamura.
I would love to see
before
that.
It's
that
too
was
late.
That was gonna happen.
Yeah,
that was gonna happen, and they totally. The Nakamura thing is fascinating to me because we don't criticize Nakamura as much as somebody else would have been criticized in the same position as him.
I agree 100%. We're biased.
I think as not just us, not us, but in general, right? You look at Nakamura. I was a tremendous Nakamura fan in New Japan.
Yeah.
Tremendous Nakamura fan. I followed him for years. I loved it. He came coming to WWE. I was shocked. I said, oh my God, we're going to get these matches. He goes to NXT.
Freddie Japan, I remember.
Freddie Japan. He goes to NXT, and he has that great match, that first match that he had.
Sami Zayn match.
Sami Zayn. I have to tell you, after that, we are now watching him on a curve.
See, I disagree with that. I feel like his NXT run was so great.
He had great matches, but he also had a lot of. I didn't think that Bobby Roode feud
was.
It got way more praise because it was Nakamura.
Yeah,
the feud with Balor and Joe were really good, but it wasn't Balor. Okay, Nakamura have any better match?
Mm-hmm.
Does he have one better match than Gargano Ciampa? In that series.
Oh, that's interesting.
Okay. I don't think so.
Yeah, no.
I don't think so.
Yeah, but that's also like, that's a very, very high bar.
I mean, Nakamura has that high bar. He's had, I mean, Tokyo Dome 5-star, you know, 4.5 5-star matches, this guy. So he went into this. He comes into the main roster, and it's a shell of who he is.
Or better protected because he's working the schedule.
He's working the schedule, but you know what? And that's what we said. Mm-hmm. He said, well, you know, you think he's going to have that kind of match on TV every week? No, he doesn't need to because his character is so charming and, you know, the entrance and everything. You're so into it. What was his last unbelievable pay-per-view match?
I did like the Finn Balor match.
I did. No, yeah. I enjoyed it. But again, it was an opener on a pre-show. This is a guy that was the number one contender for the WWE title. He was in the main event for that title.
That is true.
A year ago, a year and a half ago.
Yeah, you know, I do like him with the IC belt.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. I don't think there's anything fundamentally wrong with Nakamura. I think he's fine, but we never got to see this. Oh my God, this guy's remarkable.
I would love it if they were just like, just do whatever you got to do. Do you think him versus Ali is going to be added to that card?
Him and Ali is going to be the program going forward.
Okay.
They've been working house shows, so.
Very interesting.
Yeah, him and Ali are going to be.
What if there's a double swerve and instead of Dolph Ziggler, Matt Riddle versus Goldberg?
You know what? But Matt got punished for the stuff that he said.
Did he?
Yeah. You know, NXT is another fascinating thing, which we'll talk about, obviously. Guys, remember your questions. We're going to be answering your questions at the end of the show. I'm trying to think what else I had here. MG Geek, just shoot me some stuff if I'm missing. AAA has a show filled with a bunch of AEW guys. Mm-hmm. I believe it's Triple Mania.
That's this weekend, right?
Yep, that's tonight.
Just tonight? Am I wrong about this?
Yeah, no, that's tonight.
Do you want to quickly go through NXT Toronto?
Yes, let's do that. I'll go through Triple Mania.
This is next weekend.
NXT Toronto is, no.
SummerSlam is next weekend.
SummerSlam is next weekend?
And so is, you okay?
It's next weekend?
Yeah. August 10th and 11th.
That is really early. This is the earliest it's been in a very long time.
Hey, man, it's SummerSlam.
Why?
I don't know. Ask them.
What was it last year?
Candice LeRae versus Io Shirai.
Okay.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Shayna versus Mia Yim.
Okay, great.
Velveteen versus Pete Dunne versus Roddy.
I'm very excited for that match.
Same here.
That's going to be a great match.
Street Profits versus the Undisputed Era. It's going to be fun.
Okay.
Adam Cole versus Johnny Gargano. 2 out of 3 falls match.
So it's the second 2 out of 3, mm-hmm. 3 falls match.
Yeah.
Okay, and then that's, I guess they have to end that.
Mm-hmm.
I was told there will be a surprise.
Really?
They're gonna do Oh my god, can you imagine? They're gonna do an end moment for this one.
Goldberg showing up on NXT. Your thoughts?
Oh my god!
Just spearing the hell out of Velveteen Dream.
Out of Velveteen Dream?
He's not even going for the.
I want Velveteen to do a Goldberg entrance.
Ooh!
I want him to do that. Triple Mania is tonight.
Yeah.
I don't have where you could watch it. I believe somebody knows in chat. I'm sorry. This is going to be interesting because you have the main event is the Elite, Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks versus Laredo Kid and the Lucha Bros. That's one of the main events. Psycho Clown, Cody, and Kane Velasquez.
Mm-hmm.
Kane is an MMA fighter.
Yes.
Versus Texano Jr. and Taurus.
Not Kane.
It's Kane.
But
do you think he'll come out in Kane gear?
That'd be amazing. But it's interesting that the AEW guys are in this, and also like there's a lot of tag matches and trio matches on the card tonight.
Well, you also have a hair versus mask match, which that's going to be a big deal.
Blue Demon Jr. versus Ray Wagner.
Dr. Wagner Jr.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious how this works because Blue Demon Jr.'s mask is on the line and I cannot see them taking a mask off him.
Yeah.
How old is he now? 53 years old. Maybe at the time, but Dr. Mm-hmm. Wagner's up there too. He's also 53. He lost his mask 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, what a handsome guy. He should have taken his mask off a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he'll do the hair. La Parca. Pagano. You want to do the names?
Sure. La Parca versus Pagano versus Puma King versus Aerostar versus Drago versus Averno versus Chessman versus Superfly versus Electroshock and Monster Clown and Daga and to be announced.
You know, I handed it to you because you speak Spanish,
mm-hmm.
and I gave you the most non-Spanish names to call. So I'm going to watch the show. I don't know how good it'll be. Their shows are hit or miss. I believe they're doing it in Arena de Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be a big building. It'll be filled. I find it, the AEW stuff is interesting. There's going to be a lot of AEW, you know, involvement in here.
Sammy Guevara, Kenny, the Bucks, Cody, Pentagon, Phoenix. It's a lot of AEW.
There is a Tito Santana there. I don't know if it's related to.
Oh no, it's Tito Santana.
No, it is not. It's 30. He's a 33-year-old. There's another Tito Santana. he is not related to the more well-known Tito Santana. He started using the name Tito Santana, but he's not Tito Santana. And there was an Impact show last night. Oh, an Impact pay-per-view.
Oh, real quick. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Triple Mania, you can watch on Twitch for free tonight.
Great. I'll be watching it tonight. As long as they have the vuvuzelas and the horn. Bom, 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 bom.
You were saying? Impact?
Impact had a show, and Scott Steiner did a Frankensteiner.
Oh, yeah,
at 57
right.
years old.
Mm-hmm.
It was all the Big Papas.
Yeah.
It was Scott Steiner. It was
Brian Cage.
Jordan Grace. And I think Petey Williams.
Oh, wow.
Was it Petey? Yeah, it was Petey Williams. He did a Frankensteiner off the top. He's much smaller now, Scott.
How does that make you feel?
That he's still doing it? I think he's a psychotic human being, mm-hmm. which I love.
Do you think he was inspired by PCO?
I think he was inspired by PCO.
Would you like to see a tag team of Scott Steiner and PCO?
Just doing crazy stuff?
Yeah.
I would, yes. I also think people forget how athletic Scott Steiner was before he became 300 pounds.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Like, early 90s Scott Steiner, he was always jacked, by the way, but this guy was unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah, he was very, very slim, very athletic. Again, always jacked. And then all of a sudden, WCW, man, that dude became the big bad booty daddy.
There's a great interview from wrestlers on how it happened. And I think he slowly, little by little, started getting carbon monoxide poisoning.
Oh, my God.
And he started getting more and more crazy and unstable. And it just morphed into a ridiculous superstar, Billy Graham.
Yeah. I was never a big Scott Steiner fan, but I also know a lot of people who are huge Scott Steiner fans.
I know that, too. You know, that's really funny. I know a lot of people that are huge
Scott Steiner.
But I don't
know
these guys. Like, I don't know how you become. I appreciate
Scott
Steiner.
Especially with the chainmail and the sunglasses.
Yeah.
Like, that version of Scott Steiner, they're like, yo,
who's the
dude? The man.
Who's the dude walking around with that picture and it says Big Bad Booty Daddy on the back?
Right.
Who's the guy with that t-shirt?
I'm telling you, man.
So there was a church by my job years ago when I had the store in Long Island.
Yeah.
So the church somehow got, this is like 2004.
Scott Steiner burned the church down.
They got their hands on all the liquidated WCW merchandise.
Oh, yeah.
And they would give it to, again, like all the El Salvadorians in the neighborhood
that were
around the church, and the church would like supply them. You had a bunch, like almost every Spanish dude that would come into the store had a WCW t-shirt from the 90s.
Hell yeah.
And it was always Diamond Dallas Page and Scott Steiner.
Mm-hmm.
And all of them said Big Bad Booty Daddy. And then Nitro Girls ones.
Yeah.
always a Nitro Girl one. It was always Scott Steiner. Never an NWO one. It was always DDP, Scott Steiner, and the Nitro Girls, and Sting. And they all sucked.
Apart from the NWO shirt, WCW had the worst wrestling shirts. Like,
worst.
And honestly,
Hogan doesn't count because Hogan's shirts came with him.
Yeah, that's true. Anything that said Hulkster
does not count.
Does not count because, you know, he brought the marketing over.
Yeah, NWO Red and NWO White. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else was just like, I forgot who it was.
However, WWE also had some very cringeworthy shirts in the 90s.
Who had the Shawn Michaels one that said, I'm a sexy boy?
That one.
You know?
The one that always made me go, was the
sperm one.
No, the Stone Cold one where his arms are two snakes.
Oh, two snakes, this one?
That is horrifying. It's just a horrifying picture of a man with two snake hands.
And his head.
And his head.
That's actually terrible. I always hated the ejaculate one.
Which one was that?
Val Venus had one. Cocked, locked. No. And then DX had another one. It said like cocked, locked, and ready to unload.
Oh,
and it was
boy.
Like ejaculate.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right. What did I do?
Hit the top button. Hit the mute.
This one?
Hit this one? The mute.
This one?
It's on there.
This one?
You see it.
This one.
That's is it hitting mute? No. Next to it?
That's the one.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay.
The one that says no next to the speaker.
Yes. God, terrible wrestling merch. But now it's like ironic, so people wear it. Like
they even
have those retro shirts for sale.
Yeah.
Some
of those retro shirts are effing great.
They are, yeah. Like the Razor Ramon one, all those.
Yeah.
I saw a girl wearing one in the subway, and I was just staring at her, and she probably thought I was some psychopath.
And you were like, what are you doing wearing that shirt?
How do you know about him?
Did you, like, gatekeep on her?
No. I was like, really?
You take that shirt off right now.
You're
not a fan.
It just caught me, you know, because it's, like, bright purple.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa, what is that?
Do you ride the subway and just talk down to people wearing wrestling shirts because they don't know about wrestling?
I hate the humans on the subway. They're not. They're subhumans. These are subway dwellers. All the worst in people comes out at rush hour.
Mm-hmm.
That's always one.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's gross.
Yeah.
I saw a video today of a dude. I don't know when this took place, but it was at the Penn Station
subway stop. The guy spitting on the guy and got pummeled?
Oh, my God. Guys, this is great. I mean, I'm not endorsing violence, but
it's great.
There's a video of a Penn Station platform. It was, like, one of the trains, and a door closed on a guy, and as the door – apparently there was, like, an altercation. Some dude spits right in the guy's face twice. And the dude,
spits once.
Right.
And the dude is, like, opening the door, and the guy the guy should have left after you spit on somebody. This is your cue to leave. He comes back as the dude is trying to open this door and spits on him again.
This dude.
Does he know that door opens and this giant man comes out and pummels him.
Just destroys the spitter in, like, 2 seconds. Like, you know that was very satisfying.
It was very satisfying. Yeah, it was very satisfying.
The other thing is, like, people are saying that the conductor saw what was going on
and opened the door.
He
could have.
But also, trains have a failsafe, so if there's something in the way,
if there's pressure,
those doors will open.
Yeah, it will open. Yeah.
Oh, so good.
Dude missed his train though.
Yeah. He probably wanted to get out of there. Like, you know, I just beat up a dude, and these guys are filming me.
I want to get out of here.
I gotta leave.
So. I don't know where we were. Triple Mania. This weekend.
Triple Mania.
We had Impact last night. Let's talk about AEW.
Yeah, please.
AEW has obviously their big pay-per-view coming up, All Out, in a couple of weeks. We've discussed that. We'll talk more about it as it comes along. But the big news this week for AEW was the fact that they put their tickets on sale for their first show on TNT. Going to be October 3rd. From the Capital One Arena in Washington, D.C. This is a big building. It's normally a 20,000-seater, but with the ramp and everything, obviously you lose a little bit. Mm-hmm. Armand is in the chat, and he's drunk already. Congratulations, my friend. You know what's funny about him? Mm-hmm. He's a great troll on the internet, but I love it. Like, he's good to us.
Is he Deacon?
He's not Deacon.
Also?
everybody thinks he's Deacon. That's another theory.
Is he another Deacon?
And I've been told that people think he's Treehouse Vince.
He disappeared.
Yeah, I just spoke to him. He just sent me a text.
Oh, he's not dead?
No, he's not dead. All
right.
I met him in person. I have to tell you, the real Treehouse Vince, you sometimes meet people and you're like, it's a character he's playing. He's as insane.
That's cool.
As in real life. We got into a fight in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Which I will tell the story one day on Mattman After Dark.
Okay.
He pummeled the man.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
It was a drunk neckbeard. That was being very rude.
And he just, like, and he
put him in his place, and the man got so scared he ran off crawling. Like, like you know when you, like, crawl away? And Josh was with us, and Josh wanted to cry and go home at that
point.
Josh Coleman.
Well, that guy was probably on another planet at that point.
He was on another planet at that point. October 2nd, I'm sorry.
Okay.
So, the tickets went on sale. So here's the thing. A lot of complaints about this. It sold out in, like, 2 minutes. It, like, something obscene, right? There was a lot of problems with the Ticketmaster site, with the tickets being available. They weren't available. The queue, because the demand was a lot. This time around, a lot of secondhand market people did buy it.
Yeah.
The other previous ones, not so much. There's a lot of tickets on the secondhand market for this. The brokers, this is how every major event is in North America. This is not something adherently new to AEW or WWE. Whenever there's a major show that goes on sale, it's sold out because the secondhand market gobbles up all these tickets. Mm-hmm. Ticketmaster does nothing about it because they like that this happens,
because
they are committing to selling the tickets and they're making their fees on this thing. And StubHub is fine with it because then they're making their fees on this. So everybody benefits off of this. Nobody wants to do a thing. There are some venues that do exclusivity purchases. Like if you're a Citi card holder, if you're an Amex holder, they release X amount in blocks. So you don't have this happen. I don't think this was the case for this event. And there was a lot of problems with it. But it did sell out. It will sell out. The building will be full off secondhand market. So a couple of key reasons why this is important with the number of interests.
Yeah.
WWE took, by the way, they're also releasing a handful of the 3,000 tickets that were held back at a later time. WWE just did an all-star show in Tampa. Tampa's a wrestling city. It's in Florida. A lot of people are coming in and out of Florida in the summer. They only did 10,000 people in that building.
Okay.
They were anticipating a lot more. They were anticipating about 13,000 people in that building. They did 10 with Stone Cold Steve Austin there. So it says something about the WWE business at this point.
Okay.
When it comes to if people feel like it's going to be ordinary. AEW, on the other hand, is hot. Not because of what they're doing in the ring, but just perception. They're hot.
Yeah.
And DC in October is not a... it's not a destination market. You know, Chicago, people flew to Chicago. Mm-hmm. Las Vegas, people flew to Vegas. Even the Florida show, that Jacksonville show, people flew to Jacksonville for this.
Yeah.
You're not getting that. I'm trying to get the numbers, actually, from somebody that I know at Ticketmaster to tell from the purchase, the tickets purchased, how many of them were local and how many of them were, you know, outside of the location. I'm going to anticipate that this is not a destination show. But with that said, you got to put tickets on sale for the following week also.
Right, right.
When are those going up? You can't hold up. You can't hold back on doing that.
Yeah.
And where's the next show?
Exactly. That was my supplementary question where it's like, all right, the October 2nd show got announced already. What's the show
October
after
9th.
That? And where is it going to be? Nassau Coliseum.
They're going to use Nassau Coliseum before the Garden. For sure. Listen, look at all the buildings you got. You got it's also availability with the NBA.
Right.
You got availability with WWE locking and stuff. They compete aggressively in the Northeast. You know, do they have exclusivity in buildings? Mm-hmm. AEW wants to run smaller buildings between 5,000 to 7,000.
Yeah.
So you're kind of, you know, handicapping yourself a little bit, tying your hand behind your back when you're trying to get those venues because generally the smaller venues are not updated. So they don't look as good.
How history making is this whole thing?
It depends.
Okay.
It depends how history making it'll be based on the first couple months of their travel business.
Okay.
You know, it's hot right now, but after you see Kenny Omega for the fourth time in your city, you know, how are they going to keep you coming back? A lot of this is wanting to see the Bucks and see Omega and see Jericho. You know, a lot of this is coming up. Dave apparently said that they will announce future dates soon. They wanted to focus on DC for a show. So that's done now. So you got maybe another week or two, and they got to start announcing the tour.
Right.
You know, and also, it's not fair to people if they're traveling to DC, and then the following week, a lot of that is also like, when are they coming to my city?
Right.
You know?
I'm very much looking forward to seeing what's going on because, like, as fans, we have, like, a front row seat for this whole thing.
Yeah, and it's interesting to see it, yeah.
And I think the anticipation has built for years, especially with, like, the Bucks, you know? And then throw Cody and Kenny in there and all the other, like, think about that.
Well, here's the thing also. You know, all those guys have been protected by lack of exposure.
Right.
And that's key in the wrestling business. Mm-hmm. That's a problem that WWE has because... you could watch every match 18,000 times. The accessibility to, you know, Young Bucks matches in PWG,
right?
Very limited. It's only controlled by what they do. They're the gatekeepers. And New Japan, same thing. Very limited because you don't have access to it as much as you do here in the States.
And the Ring of Honor stuff, too, before, like...
even Ring of Honor, yeah. Even Ring of Honor, because they don't have TV in certain markets. Mm-hmm. You got to go to their website. So the allure of these guys...
yeah.
is way bigger than what they're going to be able to project on TV.
Oh, absolutely.
They just have to maintain. If they are smart with their writing and they're smart with protecting how often they wrestle and when they wrestle and what they say on TV, it's going to go a long way. But you now got to do 52 weeks of TV and you need these guys there.
Was that your favorite iteration of the Bullet Club?
That's a great question. My favorite was probably when AJ was the leader.
Okay.
It was AJ and Kenny and all those guys. That was my favorite version of the club. Mm-hmm. I felt it got very goofy as Kenny as the leader.
Okay. You didn't like the feud?
Elite
feud between Kenny and Cody?
But it went nowhere. You know what I mean? Like, you got to go somewhere with this. They were going to split it, and then they pulled back on it. They decided they can't because the merch sales are so high for the Bullet Club. There's a lot of things that came into play with that. Also, the Civil War did not do anything.
Right.
The last Civil War. Mm-hmm. So I feel like they got afraid to pull the trigger because of t-shirt sales.
Mm-hmm.
And then also the big problem was Kenny and the Bucks and them did not want to commit to Bullet Club because they were not getting a piece of that merch.
Right,
much as they should have been.
Yeah.
So they went to Elite and then they started doing all their goofy stuff.
Which is great.
which is fine.
All that goofy stuff led to this.
All that goofy stuff led to this. So now you got to look back and say, okay, what are we doing?
Yeah.
That's really what it comes down to.
It's very fascinating, too, especially because, like, that first sellout for All In was pretty much based on the built-in fan base of being the Elite.
Yeah, more than anything else. Yeah,
right. I watch you guys on the internet, and I think you're hysterical. You know.
Yeah.
So like the goofy stuff really brought them really far. You know, and also like just the fact that they're still trying to do like lighthearted comedy things.
Well, you know what was interesting? Cody did an interview, and Cody gets a lot of crap from hardcore wrestling fans and WWE fans.
That's very interesting.
He gets a lot of crap from them. And they have this concept of him being this arrogant jerk, which is so not who he is.
Right.
Sorry, Jess is picking up my TV.
Like.
Yeah, physically.
Nice, so, I'm excited for you and your new TV. What are you doing with the old TV?
The old TV is going in the kids' room.
Okay, nice.
So, listen, I feel like he gets a lot of criticism, and they hyper-analyze every word he says. He did an interview, and he said, listen, we're not just going for the hardcore. We're actually going more for the casual fan.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't know why anybody is interpreting it as a negative.
Right, right.
Because the dude is saying exactly what they need to do. They cannot survive on the hardcore fan.
Right.
There's not enough of them. So, of course you need the casual fan. And the fact that, you know, wrestling fans are so... I hate this, like... What did you say? Gatekeeping. Gatekeeping. Yeah. That's such a great expression for it. I hate that aspect of fandom when you're like... Oh, I've been watching Being Elite since the first episode. So, yeah, now you're coming on board to watch them. Yeah, dude, they're coming on board because now more people have access to it.
Exactly.
And they're enjoying it. Don't poo-poo on what was the line I said? Don't shit on my parade. Don't poo-poo on my Happy Meal.
I forgot what it was, but it was something close.
So, of course they need the P2s and the P3s.
Don't shit in my mouth.
Of course they need that. You got to start somewhere, guys.
But that's where TNT comes into play.
Of course, and they're going to be great for that crossover for the casual.
Especially, like, if you imagine you're watching basketball, season starts, this new show just started.
Here's the Bucks and everybody.
Yeah, and their promos are already like, ooh, I want to watch. It makes you want to watch it, you know?
Yeah.
Because you see all the high flying, you see the variety, you know? You see all the crazy characters. I do think, like, that's how those casual fans, when you're flipping through the channels and you're like, oh
yeah,
I don't really want to watch Raw, I want to watch this now, you know. But they also need those breakout guys, you know.
They need those breakout guys. Yeah, but
your top, like, think about it. Kenny, Jericho, Mox.
Kenny, Jericho, yes. Cody's not being, I mean, Cody will probably be in that picture also, but right now they're not doing that with him. They're trying to build a really strong mid-card with him,
right?
Which is, he's the best guy to do
that. Oh, absolutely.
So you really only have three guys in the top. Hangman eventually will be that guy.
Aaron Buckler, what defies a casual fan? I feel like that term gets thrown around with no real meaning.
So
what defines a casual fan for you?
Do I say P1s and P2s? Can I explain it with that again?
Oh, God, yeah. Go ahead.
So,
I'm leaving.
A casual fan. So, in radio, in sales, in ad sales, a P1 is a guy. Let's use Z100 as an example here in New York. Pop station, top 40. That is the only station you listen to.
Right.
You call into the show. You know Elvis Duran and the Z Morning Zoo. You love these guys. You talk to your friends about it.
Yeah.
You love the giveaway. You call in for the giveaways. That's a guy that's hyper focused in your product, and you don't really have the fear of losing him to Q104.3 for classic rock. This is what they listen to.
Yeah.
This is why 95.5 PLJ did so well with their regular, like, their real hardcore listenership, because it was soccer moms. They loved it. So, in TV terms, in WWE terms, you could kind of figure out that demo would be the guys going, buying merch, WWE top to bottom, watch Raw, watch SmackDown, watch NXT. You know, these hardcore wrestling fans that watch AEW and Impact, there's only 500,000 of those.
Right.
That I mean, we've gone over the numbers and we verified these numbers. It's half a million.
Not a casual fan.
Those are not a casual fan. Right. A casual fan could be dissected into two different places. One, the guy that's a wrestling fan but doesn't watch every week
or doesn't listen to wrestling related
stuff. Doesn't really, you know, maybe he'll go on like on a message board or a website when he's on Facebook. Mm-hmm. It's a secondary thought for him. He'll click on it, he'll read it, but he's not really into it. When Monday Night Football comes, he probably will watch football.
Right, right.
If there's a major baseball game on, he'll probably watch it, but he still keeps up with the product, right? A P3 is a channel surfer. Guy, mm-hmm. or also the P2, the other casual, would be a guy that was maybe a big-time wrestling fan in the 90s, and now they just tune in every now and then. They watch YouTube.
Just to see what's up.
Just to see what's up. They'll tune in for big events. Maybe they'll go mm-hmm. to a friend's house for WrestleMania. Maybe they might even go to a SummerSlam.
Okay.
But it's not part of their fandom.
Okay.
They're on the outside. Then the third group is the ultra casual channel surfing. What is this? Keeps it on and watches for a little bit,
okay.
And then turns and flips back or continues watching. Those people are. It's great to get those because that's based on chaos and what you're doing on TV, and they'll say like, "Wow, this is pretty cool," and then they may turn into a casual fan.
Okay,
but your casual fan is important because there are so many disenfranchised fans already. That have gone. Listen, you were one of them, right? I was one of them. I always followed it. I was more than a casual fan, but our friends, all of them were casual.
Yeah.
And they came in. They came in for Summer of Punk, and they stayed for a little bit, and maybe now they're dwindling again.
Right, yeah.
This is, and they got into New Japan, and they got into something else. When those casuals came back
mm-hmm.
in 2011, a lot of them dispersed
right.
into independent shows, or, you know, it became a fun thing for them to do, mm-hmm. not necessarily, I need to watch this every week.
I do think there's an interesting crossover with AEW, but also I'm also fascinated by that they have such a diehard fan base of, like, this is all I'm watching.
Yeah, but I don't think that's true. I don't think that's all they're watching. I think that's a very, if you look online, that is the perception that you get, but mm-hmm. all these guys are also continuing with the WWE product. Those guys mm-hmm. that are saying FWWE, they suck, are watching it every week.
Mm.
It's more are watching it than less are watching, I should say. Listen, this is great. It's going to create a lot of competition.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to get people going.
Get the buzz going.
But the wrestling war of 2019 and 2020, more 2020,
mm-hmm.
is going to be very different than 1996, 1997, 1998. Yeah. And I think for the bad, because we did not have such a responsive ability in '97,
'98.
That is true. Things took time, and you were able to kind of digest
mm-hmm.
some of the things that were happening,
yeah.
and come up with a decent thought process. Or when you did have these you know, very vocal reactions, it wasn't a chain reaction. This cancel culture is toxic.
Oh, yeah,
especially 100%. For any kind of fandom. So we're going to get a lot of that, if you ask me. I think we're going to get a lot of this cancel culture anytime anybody does something a little bit off kilter.
These guys are on TV now? Done.
Done. Yeah.
I'm unsubscribing to Being the Elite.
So we'll see. You know, we'll see what happens. but also, guys, the internet is a very small portion of the WWE audience.
Yeah.
When we talk about how many people are tweeting during Raw, we're talking tens of thousands.
Right.
Maybe a couple, 10,000, depending mm-hmm. on, you know, a big WrestleMania, maybe 50,000, if anything. we're not getting, it's not this gigantic, incubator of everybody's thoughts.
Right.
So let's do a Q&A. What do you say?
Let's do some Q&A, guys. All right. Get your questions ready.
Get your questions ready. Go to our website, gfknetwork.com. Subscribe to the podcast where everywhere podcasts are available. Also, subscribe to us here on YouTube. We do the show each and every week. Next week, what are we doing for SummerSlam while you guys prepare for your questions?
You want to do a pre and post?
Do you want to do a watch along?
Sure, yeah. I'm cool with that.
It's like 7 hours.
I know. We got to get the AC on in this room, though. I'm not sitting in here for
seven. Yeah. Yeah, no. We'll do something with the AC.
Can we figure out during the week how we could shoot it from your couch?
Yes.
So we can just kind of have one camera and we're just,
yes.
Just doing this for 3 hours?
Marfig, $1.
Also, don't forget to check out our Patreon.
Our Patreon, patreon.com/madmenpodcast. Go there and fund us as little as $1 per week. $1 a month helps us chugging along. Yeah, so we'll figure out next week. NXT definitely, if you don't want to do NXT, I could do NXT.
Okay.
I could do the watch-along, and then we'll do a SummerSlam watch-along.
I think I'm going to a birthday party next Saturday.
Next, okay, so I'll do it. I'll do that. And then we'll do a SummerSlam here.
Cool. Josh Freerks has a question.
Yes.
Would you rather take a picture with Bray in his Mr. Rogers outfit or in his Killer Clown mask? I would go red sweater.
I would go Killer Clown.
Yeah?
Yeah. I would go Killer Clown.
Make him put you in a headlock?
Gotch on Meltzer thoughts. So did you see that Simon Gotch? He said that someone should, you know, he should blow his brains out or something.
Oh, boy.
That Meltzer should blow his brains out. I don't know. It's a freaking internet. People are lunatics and they say crazy stuff. I found that the outrage was way more interesting than like people are like, I hate Dave Meltzer. I think he's a total piece of crap. But, you know, this is taking it to a whole nother level.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm not surprised by people's comments.
Exactly. Yeah. Like when you if you go on to any kind of like wrestling Twitter like timeline or feed, like you'll invariably come across like really disgusting and awful stuff
that you can't
unsee. Marfig, when is the Matt Man sexy calendar release? We need to do a sexy calendar.
We should do a sexy calendar.
Just like
me and you every month.
Covered in peanut butter.
Yeah, just doing weird stuff.
We'll do like different tag teams.
We could be all the tag teams,
you know, like the
LOD,
yeah, every
Tully and Arn
every month,
yeah,
different tag
Harlem
team.
Heat,
except complete naked,
completely naked. Harlem Heat, except completely naked. Who's winning the inaugural AEW championship, men's and women's? I don't know who's winning, but I would say that Jericho would be my pick.
Same here, I'm gonna go Jericho.
I don't know for the women.
For the women, I'm going to go Britt Baker.
Okay. Britt Baker for the women.
What are your memories of the late Harley Race? Rest in peace, Harley Race.
Oh, yeah. We did not mention that. He passed away this week.
Yeah. Harley Race passed away this week, unfortunately. But
Marfig, $5. Can't wait for it. Yeah.
This guy wants his calendar.
I'll do the Austin Arms.
Ugh, come on, man. How about a t-shirt where I got snakes for arms?
Birch Bulldog for the Hall of Fame. Yeah.
What is your favorite Harley Race memory?
I'm gonna tell you. He is pre my time as a wrestling fan. When I think of Harley Race, I think of the epitome of NWA and that style of wrestling.
Yeah,
just a really grizzled guy. Just you know, one of the greatest in its era. And he passed the torch to Flair.
Yeah,
eight time world heavyweight champion. So this guy's fascinating. I love the stories of how he pulled a gun on Hogan.
Oh, yeah.
So this is a great story. In about 1984...
All the Harley stories are amazing, by
so the way. 1984, they were doing Starrcade, and Hogan... So Vince was getting ready for the national explosion. He had gotten Piper, and he had gotten Hogan, and Gene, and Slaughter. All these guys had gone over there. He offered Harley Race a lot of money to show up with the NWA title and do title for title and unify the title, because at that point there was no like intellectual property lawsuits and things like that. And Harley didn't do it. And if he had done it, he would have come in and dropped the NWA title to Hogan.
Hysterical.
And Hogan would have been NWA and WWF champion.
Brother.
So very interesting.
He apparently Hogan, I gotta listen to it. I read a little bit of the transcript.
Oh, from the Austin interview?
From the Austin Hogan interview.
Pretty good.
Where he calls himself, I would have been Triple H. I would have been the first Triple H.
I would have been the first Triple H, yeah.
If he turned heel in, like, mid-90s.
Yeah, Hollywood Hulk Hogan, Triple H.
Yeah.
I'm curious, so...
I pitched the name Triple H, brother.
Hogan has a very interesting memory when it comes to things. I was listening to the interview, and he was, like, really off on years and stuff. He was, like, bouncing, which, by the way, he's 65 years old. He's not going to remember everything from 35 years ago. But he told an interesting story about how at WrestleMania 6, he was going to lose to Warrior. Mm-hmm. And he was going to, you know, like, he handed him the title. He was going to do that whole thing where he grabbed the title and he handed it to him. And as he's going up the ramp, he was going to turn, just go in there and just beat the crap out of him and turn heel. And he was going to become Hollywood Hulk Hogan.
Triple H.
He did do Hollywood Hogan.
Yeah.
I think he's added the name Triple H later on in life. Because he's like, I could have been the first Triple H. You know, Hollywood Hulk Hogan.
So
but
good.
I do believe that he had that going in the back of his mind to turn heel.
Yeah,
he's a very smart guy. And he really understands the business and the psychology of it. I think a lot of people don't realize how much of a role he had in booking in that first period with Vince.
No, absolutely.
So I thought that was really interesting. Just so many what ifs with him.
We get a lot of questions.
Yeah, go ahead.
Also, to address the Harley Race question, my favorite Harley Race story is Mick Foley tells it. I think he told it on remember the Legends Roundtable?
Yeah.
That was really good.
That series.
Yeah, if you guys could look up the WWE Legends Roundtable, it was like Michael Hayes, Jim Ross. Mick Foley, a lot of other dudes like a rotating cast of characters. Yeah. But he told a story in WCW where he had that feud with Vader, and Harley was Vader's manager.
Okay.
And Harley was like, listen, in the next scene, you're going to hit Vader with that shovel. And he's like, he's a big boy. He can take it. You hit him with that shovel. And Mick Foley was like, I didn't want to hit Vader with the shovel, but Harley Race said, he's like, I was more afraid of what Harley was going to do to me if I didn't hit Vader with the shovel. And then they show the clip of him just like wailing on Vader, making it look good. But that's my favorite Harley Race story.
So many.
Are we keeping up with the G1? Yes.
Yes.
One of the best, I think, in the last few years.
I thought it was coming off slow, and it really has gone. It's become really good. I don't have the latest results, so I'm
Mox suffered his first loss against Toriano. Okay, your favorite.
Okay. I called it. I knew it, and he had to lose. He had to lose it.
I thought his first loss was going to be against Juice.
Well, they had to have him lose, because if he won this one, he would have blown through that entire thing, and it would become really unrealistic for anybody to attempt to win. So how did that match go?
It was quick.
It was a quick match?
Yeah, it was a quick match.
We called it last week. It'll be like a roll-up or something.
Yeah, I think he got him with the roll-up. Quick match. I do think everybody's really putting their wrestling boots on for this G1, because it's like real. Like, the Tanahashi-Ibushi match was bananas. Also, Ibushi, he's another guy. You look at him, you're like, yo, this guy's like 22 years old.
Yeah.
He's 38. That match with him and Tana, Sonata versus Rainmaker this morning.
I have to watch it. Is it that good? I got to watch it.
It's awesome. Like, I think I think my theory with Sonata is for the last year, they've been priming him to step up to the main event picture.
Okay.
So your main event is going to end up being Okada, Tana, Ibushi, and Sonata.
I think that's great. Tana, it depends.
And Naito. Jay White not doing so great in the
G1. Osprey's coming up.
Yeah.
Zack Sabre Jr. is not doing so great either. Lance Archer has had a good showing.
Yeah.
The guy's blown, you know.
I hate to admit that I was like, Lance Archer, womp womp. But I really like the new Lance Archer.
So tomorrow we have Juice and Taichi, mm-hmm. Ishii Yano, Jeff Cobb, Goto, Jay White, John Moxley, and Naito and Takagi.
Very much looking forward to that Mox Jay White match.
Yeah, me too.
I think he's going to offer him a Bullet Club position.
Oh, that'll be interesting. What else do we have in questions?
Marco Stunt signed to AEW. What do you think they could possibly do with someone so disproportionate to the other workers?
I think that's the point.
I think look at like a Rockstar Spud.
Yeah.
You know, what they did with him. Even now, like Drake, like when WWE hired Drake Maverick to GM 205 Live, I don't think they pictured him in a wrestling role, but he is he's as entertaining as R-Truth.
Absolutely.
For that 24/7 title.
Yeah.
And he's like 3 feet tall. But yeah, I think that like a lot of people were like poo-pooing on the Marco Stunt thing, you know, but like you need that all around cast of characters.
Yeah. I think fine. It's fine for now, but they need to add some more main eventers.
Yeah.
All right. Are we,
I think we're good.
We're good. All right, guys. That's it for this week. We'll see you all next week. We're going to have a lot of content next week, so it'll probably be 3 or 4 shows. That we'll be doing.
Let's get Harry up in here.
Harry should come in here. Yeah.
You know Harry, you remember, you know who I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
you were like, Harry who?
No, I was trying to do the math on the dates, what date we could have him on. Yeah, he won't be here because he's going to be in Nashville for the Capital Wrestling Show.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, Kevin Nash and Scott Hall at Capital Wrestling. So is Jake Haggard also. Yeah, that's it. That's all they're going to do. All right, guys, that's it for this week. See you later.
Later.